Cloudy skies, cloudy skies, and let's call it 70.
Right. Too much seagull poop in our broadcast this morning,
I think.
If that's what's causing our interference with there. There's a lot of them out there this morning. Until the tractor or that beachcomber guy gets by them and he kind of gently moves them out of their way. But they're enjoying the sands of Lakeview Beach this morning. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
It is the WEOL Morning Show, spotlighting Lorain this morning, and we always like to have folks from Lorain come by, and who better than the Arredondos? Or is that what you guys were known as, or the neighborhood, or did you have any other nicknames that people know? Oh, here they come. Here are the brothers coming in the neighborhood. Or
yeah, we had some nicknames. Actually, within our family, he was called Butchie or Butch. Hmm. And I was Davey. Pretty much
simple enough for that.
Yeah,
as well.
Pretty much.
So you guys are dressed very well for the occasion, Craig. You could see that Joel Arredondo here has the Lorain postcard shirt on today, shorts as well, and you're dressed for this beach today.
Well, it was a little bit. Good morning, Bruce and Craig. Thank you once again for the invite. But yeah, it's a little different than yesterday. 24 hours difference, but it's still Lorain downtown on the beach. Very blessed to have, Lakeview right here. Still amazed. I talked to people just like right now. I was talking to Craig this morning, and we're looking at the river tours, and he hasn't taken one yet, but he said he's going to take one this year. But also, unfortunately, talking to some teachers in Lorain City Schools, that some of the kids, first time they come to the beach here, they think this is an ocean. So
it's a big body of water.
It sure is.
Give it respect that it deserves too, just to be on the safe side as well. Your brother Joel or David here. David, you're wearing the jersey of Mexico for the now. I read here it says here Mexico's National Seismological Service says there was a seismic activity around the country's capital Sunday, but it wasn't linked to soccer fans celebrating their country's game-winning goal versus Germany at the World Cup.
You know, I beg to disagree, because knowing Mexicans and knowing that Zocalo, that main square, and 12 years ago I had the good fortune to be there on that square and the building that you see in that picture, and was able to be there with, half a million people or something in it. I really do believe that goal was just incredible. I mean, this is perfect timing. International Week, we're talking about what can be more international than the World Cup, and so we saw just a fabulous game. And I think all soccer fans will agree that Mexico upsetting Germany 1-0 was one of the greatest games in World Cup history.
So what's next for Mexico now?
They get to play on Saturday against South Korea, and then next Wednesday they'll play Sweden. But here's the one that you want to watch is Germany against Sweden, which I believe is also on Saturday, and the Swedes are not pushovers by any means. So the Germans got their work cut out for them.
Was soccer a sport that you played much at all, or is this one of these things that sort of a generation has sort of grown up with it now, to actually play it and be a part of that?
We never played soccer.
We were
baseball. Baseball.
Basically growing up, frankly, speaking of International City, which we, this is Lorain, we grew up in a neighborhood where there were Greeks, Hungarians, Macedonians,
Slovenians.
Puerto Ricans. And really, when you went to Oakwood Park, about the only ones you saw out there playing soccer were Greeks or Greeks.
Yeah.
Mexicans growing up either here and back in the 50s, 60s, most of the families that came from Texas in the 40s, and like David and I were second generation here, but no, we didn't play soccer.
But
we didn't.
But our daughter, your son, did Mia play soccer as well?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son played 4 years at Southview. Your kids played at Elyria Catholic,
and,
I believe.
Admiral King, my oldest daughter. But the great, I guess, how would you say, fandom that I, appreciation for soccer came in 1998 in the World Cup, where my youngest daughter, who had been playing soccer, says, "We got to watch the World Cup." So from that moment on in 1998, through the years. We would watch the World Cup together. In 2002, when it was in Japan and Korea, we would get up at 6 in the morning to be able to watch the game. So it was a great bonding opportunity. And as a result of watching our daughters play soccer, my wife and I have become great fans.
Usually a sport is handed down. It's sort of handed up in a generation.
Yeah, they handed it up to us. Exactly, right.
And it's kind of interesting to see at this time of the year, obviously. And, of course, then you talk about international cultures. You get to see the flags and hear national anthems and just sort of see the people respond in a joyous way to their sport.
Politically speaking, that's most probably one of the galvanizing events. Sports is always... You know, whether you go back to the 36 Olympics with, Nazi regime with Jesse Owens and that whole feature, or going to even in Mexico in 1968 when Tommy Smith and Juan Carlos made that political statement. But it seems that sport seems to eliminate those barriers, or somehow the friendships become true, you know, even in this day and age, what's happening. You know, you're speaking about Mexico, you know, the border and all, but still people somehow,
they come together as a result. Yesterday I was talking with a woman from India, and soccer, or what we also call this football, is a universal language. Yeah. And so we could talk about, Ronaldo and his three goals and the Mexico win over Germany. And I pointed out to her, I says, you know, you could sit with people who don't speak your language, but you're watching the same screen, and you both understand exactly what's going on, and you can nod to each other to say, wow, you know, why didn't they call foul on that, or, you know, what a great goal that was, or it should have been a yellow card, or something along those lines. And speaking of national anthem, I will put the Mexican people up against anyone else in the world in terms of singing their national anthem. It's like universal. You're not going to see anybody, none of the players standing there not singing the national anthem. And so you got to give Mexico and Mexicans credit for their pride in their national anthem.
Gentlemen, it's International Week here in the city of Lorain. Joel, what's it mean to you? What kind of memories do you have?
Well, my memories go back all the way to actually the first one. I had just finished high school, and I was here working a steel plant, to make enough money to go to college. And one of our classmates by name of Irene Kitchen was the first international princess. And I remember comments were made that, wow, she's the princess. Who picked her? But, Irene, I knew her in high school, nice lady. The first one, I believe, was held downtown Lorain, if I'm not mistaken. But then we moved over to O'Neill Shopping Center. And over the years, dealing with, I think about 10 years later, maybe in the 70s, they had the food booths. So the Mexican Mutual Society and the Mexican American Citizens Club, we partnered for about 10 plus years working, you know, those food booths. And David was there, myself. Like I said, you know, we had a lot of cooperation, but I just remember those hot, sweltering tents some days like yesterday. And but people came out.
How about you, David?
Well, I go back also to 1966. What I remember is the parade, and going back maybe 35 years is the Sacred Music Concert that's been a constant of the festival. And speaking of which, tonight is the Sacred Music Festival, which will be held at St. Peter's. There will be a number of church choirs who will be participating, including mine. So Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary's choir, children's choir, bell choir, and soloists will be participating, doing four songs, one of the songs in Polish and one of the songs in Hungarian. And something that we both, you know, Joel and I have, is that our backgrounds transcend all nationalities. We went to a Slovenian school, and we learned about potica and Slovenian foods, and my mom tried to make that, and she did very successfully. But we do have an international background because of our upbringing, being surrounded, as Joel said, with other nationalities. The first Mexicans who came to Lorain were inserted in the Hungarian neighborhood. And so the closest Catholic church, like half a block from my grandparents' house, was St. Lad's. And so my mom went to school at St. Lad's. She made her first communion at St. Lad's. And the point being is that as we celebrate this week, we celebrate all of the good things and the heritages that have exposed us to the world. So tonight I invite everyone to come to St. Peter's at 7 o'clock to listen to sacred music.
Of course.
Joel, you mentioned Mexican Mutual Society, and I know from Facebook posts you're involved in that. Can you tell us what it is and what kind of things you do?
Well, this year is our 90th anniversary. Craig, thank you for asking. 1928, it was chartered by the state of Ohio, and it was a benefit, mutual benefit club, which was established to aid the immigrants at the time who came here, help them in areas such as education, speaking, letting them know what was expected of an immigrant, your rights, which at that time were pretty unknown. You know, there was no Medicare, there was no translations, there was no lawyers, et cetera, to assist them. But through the community, over the years, this organization has evolved. Like I said, first generation, my dad, our uncles who did that. Fast forward to about 1960, there was a lull. The younger group, this second generation who came from Texas in the 40s, decided that they wanted to form their own group. You know, the older generation, different ideas, different ways. So that's what established the Mexican American Citizens Club, who were established, I mean, 1957, 58. So they have about 50, 60 years of heritage. In the early 70s, a group of individuals, David Flores, Gus Nunez, the attorney, and Frank Amador, my brother was involved in that also. They wanted to reorganize, get this second generation going. So it was basically the rebirth there. Gus Nunez, our attorney, was able to secure a liquor license. Fast forward 1979, a gentleman by the name of Frank Jacinto, educator, city of Lorain, his father was well known in the community. He organized a group to revamp our constitution and bylaws, because up until 79, women were not allowed to be members. You can come in as a social member or an auxiliary member, excuse me. And I think David served on that committee also, a couple other guys.
Yeah.
But
we opened the door to
because,
women.
You know, we used to go in there and, you know, I bring friends in and they say, well, where's the girls? You know, like, you're a young guy, is this a funny club? Yeah, you know, back there in Lorain, there was a couple who had opened up on Broadway, you know, back at that time. You know, that was still unknown, you know, whatever you want to call them, you know, gay or whatever. You know, that was like a taboo word. But, and as soon as we got the women in, membership increased. New ideas came in. Husbands brought their wives. Guys brought their girlfriends. So, you know, with inclusion, there's also change in direction, which is good. So, like I said, we over the years, you know, we've struggled. Membership, the younger generation, unfortunately, they don't participate too much. I'm very fortunate. My daughter, she's heads the scholarship committee, which I think is our key cornerstone. You know, a lot of people think the clubs, and you go around Lorain, basically there's only four clubs left. There was a Slovak club. Everybody knows them. you know, fish fry or bowling, but IAV, Italian-American Club, and the Croatian Club. And ironically, they're both across the street from each other. And the last one is Mexican Mutual. And we're the oldest, 1928. But unfortunately, a couple years ago, Puerto Rican Home closed, and they have a very large community, larger than the Mexicans. But once again, you got to build value, have, you know, give reasons for it. Like I said, this year, our scholarship committee, they've worked very hard, and I believe they have around 7 or 10 applicants. They give out anywhere between $2,000 to $4,000 in scholarships. So the event will be held on July 28th, and our save the date for the 90th anniversary is Saturday, October 13th at Rosewood Hall. So we'd like to attend. Our keynote speaker is going to be Baldemar Velasquez, Farm Labor Organizing Committee. David and I have been in association with him for a number of years. He, I think, embodies the whole idea of Mexican immigrants, and also just the work ethic. I believe he's first generation, second generation like us. But there'll also be, other speakers. I'm sure we're going to have some politicians there. The mayor has promised to be there. But it's a great event. Yeah. Hopefully you can attend. Yeah. Like I said, Rosewood Hall. But it's mariachis will be there. We'll have music. So it'll be a great event.
Right. Well, we hope a lot of people attend this week at the International Festival and get to sample all the culture, the food, the music, and see all the young kids get to go up there and dance on the stage and enjoy and kind of continue the tradition of the Lorraine International Festivals. We sort of spotlight Lorraine this week. We appreciate both of you stopping in.
Thanks.
Joel and David Arredondo as well. And Go Mexico, is that
Viva Mexico.
Viva Mexico,
yeah,
as well.
And we appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping.
Thank you.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks for stopping in this morning as we are broadcasting from the Sunset Cafe at Lakeview. We've got more coming up. We'll talk with the Lorraine Historical Society. Bar Piscopo joins us. Also, Frank Zipkowski from the Lorraine Lighthouse Foundation. And coming up next, we'll talk with the Lorraine School CEO, David Hardy Jr., here on AM 930 WEOL.